Greetings and salutations, internet, and welcome to another episode of Who's Your Brother? I'm the older of the two brothers. My name's Christian.
I am, once again, and as always, as I am and remain and will forever be, the younger of the two brothers. And that was it. Welcome to the show. Everybody, welcome. Yes, thank you.
Right.
Thank you, everyone.
Rounds of applause. And, you know, you might not always be the younger brother. There's a chance, you know, that I could die and then you'll be the only brother.
Don't say that. I'd be very sad if that happened.
Well, bad news. As the younger brother, you probably will have to watch me die. Not like, I don't know if you'll have to, like, be there. You might not have to watch, like, the whole thing, but, like, you will almost certainly attend my funeral.
You know what? I'll say a lot of things about you. Some good, some bad. Mm-hmm.
I hope I know my death is coming. I want to record a video to be played at my funeral. Alright, I'm fucking dead, and this is what I want to say.
If you're all watching this, I am in fact dead.
Right. I want to give it the Mr. Weed fucking thing. You know, if you're watching this, I am dead, and you're probably pretty bummed.
Oh, man, I forgot when they killed off Mr. Weed.
Yep.
One of those random Family Guy characters that you barely think about, and then you go, oh, yeah, they killed him.
Right, yeah. He existed for, like, a season or two, and then, like, just killed him off.
Oh, man.
As a plot point for, like, Peter's job.
That's right, because he choked to death, and then he had to go, like, he was a fisherman for a while. Dude, that was a whole weird stint that they did there in, like, the early seasons.
Yeah, because he worked at, it was a toy factory that he fucking worked at. Yeah, and then he was a fisherman, and then he eventually got a job at the brewery. Oh, and then his boss died there because she was voiced by fucking
Carrie Fisher. That's right.
Yeah, they had a whole funeral for her.
Oh man.
You know who else killed off somebody recently? The Simpsons killed off a character this past Sunday.
Did they? Who did they kill off?
Larry the Barfly.
Oh yeah. That timeless character.
Do you know what the funny thing is? You actually probably know him because he's been in the show since the beginning, since season one. He's one of the background barflies that never talks.
Again, yeah, I know I've seen him, but also, yeah, Larry, I'm devastated. No, I'm bummed.
Yeah, it was a whole episode, that, and I guess that was the humor of the episode too, is because, like, at his funeral, his mom was like, oh, he always talked about his buddies at the bar. Would you guys come up and say a few words about Larry? And they're all like, didn't even know his last name.
Okay, that's actually a pretty good gag.
Yeah, so that was the whole gag. Like, yeah, this guy's been here the whole time. Do you know who this guy is? Like, no, who the fuck is that? It's Larry of Larry and Sam, the other two dudes who are always at Moe's.
Oh, God damn. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, Simpsons? Still keeping it fresh? Question mark?
Yeah, I heard a rumor recently that it's been funny again recently, but, you know, I haven't watched The Simpsons in years now.
So, I've got access to Disney Plus. I will admit, I watch up to about season 12-ish and just never beyond that. I don't...
Those are the really good seasons.
Yeah, they're the best seasons. They're, like, the only seasons worth watching.
Yeah. I've definitely watched past that. Like, I think one year, my girlfriend and I, like, for Halloween, we tried to watch a bunch of the Treehouse of Horrors.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we always do, like, a horror movie, you know, marathon or whatever. But, like, when we want to watch something short, like, you know, we're just trying to stay up for, like, another 20, 30 minutes. Let's throw on an episode of Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah, because they had some good ones in the early seasons. Those early seasons were gems.
Yeah, no, absolutely, 100%. But, I feel like I've watched, like, a few from, like, one of the seasons in the 30s. Like, it was just a thing we did during COVID. Like, hey, let's watch some of The Simpsons. Let's see what they're up to. And it was just like, okay, this is Simpsons stuff. It didn't seem good, just like okay, I guess. Yeah, lots of things have happened, you know. So many people have died now.
I mean, because a few of them were, like, because, like, actors or actresses died, I'm pretty sure. Because yeah. I know the teacher, Mrs. Krabappel, her voice actress died. And I think she actually got, like, a good ending, if I'm not mistaken.
Yo, man, yeah, her ending was actually kind of fucked up. She married Ned Flanders and then died right away.
Seriously?
Yeah. Like, they fell in love and got married, and so two of his wives have died. Like, being married to him is a curse.
Oh, my God. Ned, Jesus Christ, man.
Right.
Did not realize you were a black widower.
Yeah. And my favorite, like, idea behind that is, like, Rod and Todd have been having a tough year because they haven't aged.
Fucking Rod and Todd.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's, that was how she ended. And, of course, Maud died, but that's because the voice actress and them couldn't come to an agreement. I don't know if they killed off Apu or just wrote him off, but he's gone.
I think they definitely wrote him off, because that was after, because Hank Azaria voiced him for a while, and a white guy voicing, Indian man was kind of uncool, frankly. All cool within the 90s, but...
It wasn't cool then, you know, it's not cool now. I understand, you know, like, why they had to do it. I also understand people being, like, upset because, you know, you have, you know, beloved childhood ideas. Like, no, Apu was always there. How are you going to say, you know, that's offensive? And it's like, it is, man. You know what? It's kind of...
it is.
Yeah. Do you ever know the show Big Mouth?
Yeah, I never got into it, though, I'll be honest.
Fair enough. But there's a girl on the show... She's supposed to be half black, half white, and she was voiced by a white chick for, like, the first 5 seasons, I think. And until, you know, there was some pushback against it, and now she's voiced by a black actress. So,
okay.
Yeah. Types of stuff like that, too. So, like, they're still doing it to this day.
Yeah, not my favorite thing, gonna be honest with y'all. You know, not soups thrilled about things like that, but hey, what can you do? It's the bread and circuses, isn't it?
Yeah, can't undo the stuff, but we can try to be better going forward, you know? Yeah, giving white people the parts of, like, people from India or Mexico or Japan or something, like, you know?
You know, yeah. I do know.
Maybe white people don't need to be everything. That's a thought. But yeah, speaking of the bread and circuses, let's talk about some bread. Specifically, Cheddar Bay biscuits. But not really. We're just talking about Red Lobster and their endless shrimp debacle. Evan, I believe you have an update for us. Because we talked about this when we talked about what was it, the endless lobster or the endless crab?
Crab legs. It was bottomless crab legs.
Bottomless crab legs. That didn't work out so well for them. I believe they filed for bankruptcy.
They did. And the thing about that, the bottomless crab legs, that was years ago. So you kind of think to yourself, okay, you learned your lesson. You kind of made a bit of a fuck up. But you know what? You learned. You figured it out. You got it under wraps. And you know what? We got it right this time. Good news, folks. They didn't learn shit.
Did not learn a fucking thing.
Not a fucking thing. Because they are still filing for bankruptcy. They're filing for bankruptcy again. After, according to this report, an $11 million loss on endless shrimp this time.
From what I read, it was an $11 million loss in the third quarter, and they're projecting a $12.5 million loss in the fourth quarter.
Terrific.
Phenomenal.
Oh, my God. So, what possesses you? You went, muff. All right, fuck, guys. Bottomless crab legs didn't shake out. People were we kind of lost our asses on that one, you know. But what can we do? We're gonna win it back. What have we got? Let's pitch some ideas. You know, let's brainstorm a little bit. What do we have?
Endless shrimp. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They have done the endless shrimp before, but it was always like a limited time thing, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
And then of course they were like, well, I know what we'll do. We'll extend it year round. That'll bring people in.
And bring people it did. In that regard, it was a successful campaign.
Yeah. They thought they might order other things, but nope. Just that endless stuff, please.
The stuff that doesn't run out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they have officially they haven't officially like as far as like the last update goes. Last update we got was April 19th. They have not officially filed bankruptcy yet, but they're pretty lost in the paint at this point, folks. I just, oh my God, holy shit. Okay, oh God, where is it? Because I'm looking, I'm reading up on this like in real time. I'm trying to read up on this. I don't know how much the base price was, but apparently
Twenty
their
bucks.
solution to this.
It
How
was
much was
twenty
it?
for the shrimp.
Yeah, for the endless shrimp.
20 bucks.
$20? You fucking kidding me? Okay, they're here. So $11 million. The chain has raised the promotion price to $25.
Ooh, there we go. That'll fix it.
Here's a statement. We want to keep it on the menu, in a statement that was given. And of course, we need to be much more careful regarding what are the entry points and what is the price point we are offering for this promotion.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Their metrics didn't fucking add up. They did a fucking equation where like, yeah, people will only eat this much shrimp, and they underestimated the fuck out of that.
They undersold people's ravenous appetite for bottomless things.
Right? Especially when it comes to like shrimp and lobster, because I feel like we've been told that those are like fancy fish foods. Like you're getting it at Red Lobster, you know, which is a goddamn fast food chain. My homeboy Freak Show used to work in the kitchen there, so like I can tell you some horror stories.
Oh
But
no, you've got to share, please.
he would
At
talk
least
about
one, at least one.
well, he would talk about like sometimes, you know, like if they're like a spill happened, he would just be like making the biscuits like in like an inch of like shrimp water. He would just be like walking through it like, "Ah, we ain't got time to clean it up. It's busy. You know, it's busy and I've just got to keep making these biscuits." 'Cause he couldn't step away like when you're on biscuit duty, he's like they're always just ordering them. And so like he'd be like the waitresses and the waiters are constantly coming back like, "I need biscuits down. I need biscuits down." And he'd be like, "I know. I know you need biscuits down. I never stop making biscuits during, you know, the busy hours." But he'd be like, "Yeah, you know, you're just walking through sloshing this water." I'm like, "Oh, that's fucking unsanitary as shit."
That's so gross.
Super gross. Now, here's the thing I wanted to, I was doing a little research about this, and you brought up a good point. You know, like why would they do this again? I looked it up. Do you know when bottomless crab legs was?
When was that?
From what I can find out, it was 2003. Now,
Okay.
so okay, the history of Red Lobster, brief history. General Mills acquired the company in 1970. But 2 decades later, they spun it off as an independent, publicly traded company called Darden Restaurants. Now, Darden was the ones who were in charge of it in 2003 when they did Endless Shrimp. You know, that went bad. And so in 2014, Darden sold it to Golden Gate Capital. And then Thai Union, which previously had a one-fourth stake in the company, bought out Golden Gate's stake in 2021. And then it looks like, where was it? Earlier this year, Thai Union announced it was planning to exit investment in Red Lobster. So they've gone through like at least three changes in fucking management. So I can see why they would try this again. Plus, it's what was this Thai Union's quote? "Ongoing financial requirements no longer align with Thai Union's capital allocation priorities," which is some fucking private equity ass fucking speak for saying like, "Yo, man, they're hemorrhaging money, so we're fucking pulling out."
We're bailing.
And that was before they decided. I think, well, that was probably around the same time they decided to do the endless shrimp again. Yeah, no, that's why they decided to pull out. Like, yes, so. Yeah, at least two or three boss changes, and that's why they decided to pull out. They're like, "Yo, this shit's fucking bleeding money. We're out of here."
Oh my God. Oh my God. This company has changed hands way more times than I originally thought.
That's how like the private equity shit like all works. Like these motherfuckers try to invest in these companies, especially at low points, and pump them up real quick. So like make a quick fucking buck and then sell them off to the next guy. Like, "Oh,
Oh my God.
look how profitable this company is. Don't you want a part of it?" And then they bail, and then the fucking company probably starts tanking. And man, those motherfuckers like become middlemen for the company anyway, and they've got to pay for their services. It's a whole fucking scam, the fucking private equity horseshit. But either way, like the restaurant model has become less and less profitable, of course, since like COVID. And, I don't know. I imagine seafood's got to be hurting real bad, especially with fucking inflation going the way it is.
I mean, almost certainly. Almost certainly. Oof. Well, hey, I got news for you, though. And I think you're going to like this one. I really do. I think you're going to like this one.
Okay.
The Red Lobster news doesn't stop there. No.
We're going to keep this Red Lobster train going, or I guess this Red Lobster boat. We're going to keep this Red Lobster boat a-sailing.
April 15th,
uh-huh.
2024.
Uh-huh.
Here we go. this is I need you to know too. This is from the Red Lobster like website. This is official. This is on their official website.
Okay.
Red Lobster drops music tracks as fresh as their Cheddar Bay biscuits.
What? What? Holy shit! So Red Lobster is dropping a mixtape. Is that what I'm hearing?
Fans' devotion to Red Lobster's legendary biscuits reimagined into 30 Cheddar Bay AI using a secret ingredient, AI.
Oh, God.
Yes, that is correct. Ladies and gentlemen, folks at home, this is not a joke. This is not a meme. You can look this shit up. Red Lobster has officially made AI music about their Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Holy God, the future is fucking stupid.
The future is so fucking stupid. I need to read more of this because it's fucking sending me right now.
What the fuck? AI generated music about Cheddar Bay biscuits. This is, hey man, some struggling artist needs the fucking like $25 that Red Lobster was gonna pay them to write a shitty jingle.
Oh my God, Cheddar Bay AI. That's what they're calling it. Cheddar Bay AI. All right, here we go. I have to read some of this because it is sending me to hell and back.
This has got to be the worst. Do go on.
Cheddar Bay AI was cooked up by feeding inspiration from fans' declarations of love for Cheddar Bay biscuits into an AI generator. The results: an electric, eclectic group of musical melodies that prove, with the right recipe, even AI can be taught to show some emotion and learn to love Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it in so many fucking ways. It wasn't taught to love. It read what you gave it and then regurgitated it. Oh, this is horrible on 1,000 different fucking levels. AI music for Cheddar Bay, for Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits. No, goddamn. Man, okay, this is going right next to the fucking, the pancake crypto, all right?
The crypto, yeah!
The pan coin. The Cheddar Bay AI and the pan coin are just proof that, like, the ultra-capitalism is just fucking us all up. Like, what is this stupid fucking future, man?
All right, so a quote, if I may, a statement from here. All right, here we go. Our Cheddar Bay biscuits have been topping the charts in the hearts and minds of our guests for years. So we figured, who better to tap for the inspiration behind each track than the people who share their passion for Cheddar Bay biscuits every day? Said, this is Sarah Bittorf, Chief Experience Officer at Red Lobster.
We're going to steal tweets and fucking posts about Cheddar Bay biscuits, feed them to a heartless computer to generate songs. Jesus fucking H. Christ. This is so lazy. This is, this is like everything that's bad about AI. Like, we're just gonna crowdsource some inspiration from people who have actual love and feed it to a machine and be like, now you make love. But the machine doesn't, like, it can't create, you know, authentic feelings and whatnot. It's just recreating
things. From a barbershop quartet, a barbershop quartet, Cheddar Bay serenade, to an electronic track, to a 90s hip-hop bop, Cheddar Bay bouncin'.
Oh my God.
And a country tune, Butterball, listeners' taste buds will be begging for a spin.
Well, I mean, I feel like that one at least tracks, you know? Oh, Jesus. But you know what I want to do now, though? I feel like they should have made a horrorcore song, you know? Why don't they do one that was, like, Insane Clown Posse inspired about Cheddar Bay Biscuits? Cheddar Bay Biscuits, bitch! What? What?
Hey, you know what? That one I might actually listen to. Get the Juggalos out here. See if they've got some love for Cheddar Bay Biscuits and would like to write a song about them.
Yeah. But no, they probably shouldn't, because apparently Shaggy Too Dope is making advertisements trying to help protect artists.
That's right. Okay, so I sent this to my brother a little bit ago, and every time I think about it, I just chuckle, I giggle a little bit, because it's so fucking good, dude. It's so good.
It's a fucking wild ride, man. Fucking Shaggy out here trying to promote some fucking... It's a petition or something, right?
I think it's a survey. It's like an anti-AI survey.
Yeah, survey.
Basically just being like, hey, don't use AI, because that shit sucks, motherfucker.
Right? Use a real artist.
I particularly enjoy the line, like, you know, with scary ass robots like Terminator and shit.
Yeah. You know, as I could clearly see, there's a Cameo fucking tag on it. So like, somebody clearly like bought this off Cameo. It was like, hey, I want you to do this commercial, you know, asking people to take this AI survey.
Shaggy Too Dope is very good to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Of all the people they could have got off Cameo, somebody was like, nah, man, let's get Shaggy Too Dope. That'll be fun. Let's get the guy in clown makeup. Be like, yeah, motherfuckers, watch out for Terminators.
Do you want to know the wildest part about that whole thing, though?
What's that?
Do you know where I found that, or like how it came across my feed in general?
Good God, how did it? Because it didn't come across my feed. But,
I mean, so,
it's just strange.
So I only follow like a very small handful of pseudo famous people, I'll call them, you know. I follow a few like animators that are like, you know, like creators that I'm a big fan of. Uh-huh. And this one came up from Dana Terrace, like creator of Owl House, one of my favorite animated shows the last 10 years. Dana Terrace posted that to an Instagram story.
That's hilarious.
Is Dana Terrace like, are you down to clown?
Right. Down with the clown.
Down with the clown. Are you
down with the clown?
Are you cool?
Right. Whoop, whoop. What's up, fam?
I'm like, Dana Terrace, you just became like infinitely cooler in my mind. Like, you were already cool as fuck, but now you are a legend. Holy shit, dude.
Right. Made the Juggalo reference. I love it when I see like random Juggalo references in the real world. Or, like, when somebody shows that they know some shit, like, oh, fuck. I think, like, Post Malone has, like, worn Juggalo jerseys before. And I feel like Drake might have.
Oh, my God. No, it's so awesome. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, that was ridiculous. Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Shaggy is probably like, yeah, no, man, fuck that AI shit. But it's actually kind of funny because... there's this one artist dude who does a lot of their like artwork these days, and he holds an event, and he made an advertisement for tickets going on sale for the event, and he used AI, and everybody was like, dude, what are you doing? You're like a real artist. Why are you doing this? And I remember I was like, I don't know, man. I guess you can have the pass once, you know, because you do like the actual art, but like, yeah, like we shouldn't be supporting the AI art.
No, definitely don't support that. Please support real artists, you know. Yeah. It's getting scarier and scarier out there, you know. I've mentioned it before. I have written a book. I'm trying to get that book published, and every time I see shit or, like, you know, like, see a nano season, it's like, oh, yeah, AI wrote this book. I'm like, fuck you.
Right. Fuck you. Yeah. Absolutely. Fuck that.
You didn't put any heart and passion into it, you know. I'll quote you Jeff Goldblum on this one, you know. You stood on the shoulders of what was already built, you know, and before you even knew what you had, you patented it, you packaged it, and you slipped it on a plastic lunchbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they're already trying to, like, put as much work into AI as they can because they don't want to, because the money-driven machine does not want to pay actual people to make art.
Right.
They want to get rid of as many people as fucking possible. To them, people are the fucking problem.
Because people cost a lot of money. And
So
if we
much.
can get rid of the people, that's more money. Think
Exactly.
about that.
Yeah. First, we got to get rid of these fucking unions because they're always asking for more money for these people and for benefits just because we put them in this hazardous fucking work and take away their fucking life. Oh, man. Have you heard of resenteeism?
Resenteeism? No, what is this?
Do you remember quiet quitting?
I do remember quiet quitting, yes.
Well, apparently, quiet quitting wasn't getting enough traction anymore, so it's evolved into resenteeism, where it's basically people doing the least at work or slacking off at work because, they're not excited about their job and see themselves as trapped. It's just another way for the people making money to complain about people not going above and beyond and allowing themselves to be and not allowing themselves to be exploited.
I swear to God, the longer that like things drag on in this state, the more I look at like Monty Burns, like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, and go, huh, maybe they were trying to warn us about something. I
Yeah.
don't fucking know.
Like, wow, I used to see this as a parody, but that's just real life, isn't it? That's just how they fucking are. Just
Oops.
tenting their fingers and being evil.
A green cookie on St. Patrick's Day? It didn't used to be this way, Smithers. No, it didn't used to be this way at all.
Fucking resenteeism. Get the fuck out of here.
Swear to God, man.
But as we were talking about, like AI creeping in because, heartless rich motherfuckers just want to make money and don't understand how art needs soul. I watched a short film recently on YouTube. It was called The Spider. It was a fun little iteration of like a horror movie Spider-Man. It's been getting a lot of shares lately. I've seen on some social medias, but I'm gonna recommend it. It was just a quick game. It started out Chandler Riggs, who was on The Walking Dead. So, and I've been getting into just short horror films on YouTube. I think it's a nice place to find like short films that people have made. Have you ever like tried to like look up some shit on the YouTube, like some short films?
I actually have seen one or two. Yeah, there's some interesting ones on there. You know, I and, hey, you know what? In response of, saying fuck AI shit, a lot of these people on YouTube are in fact, very small, very independent, artists and creators.
Absolutely.
So I'm always like, yeah, I'll absolutely support that. That's good shit.
Fuck yeah. And you can, go like their pages and follow them and whatnot. But yeah, no, it was a cool little story. And it's kind of led me on a path of getting back into, like I said, the short films. I watched one, I think it was called Portrait of God. That was pretty interesting.
I actually have seen Portrait of God. I remember that one.
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy one.
Yeah.
Of course, coming from like a religious family, I was like, oh, let's see what this one's about.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. Take 10 minutes out of your day and go watch The Spider, because it's an interesting Spider-Man movie. But speaking of Spider-Man related movies, Kraven the Hunter, which the newest offering from Sony, trying to do something in their Spider-Verse minus Spider-Man.
We've got all the Spider-Man characters. Except Spider-Man, we don't have Spider-Man.
Yeah, we do not have Spider-Man. Can't get Spider-Man. Or
Spider-Man not included.
like some of the main villains either. Like they can't have Goblin or Ock. They are
What?
trying. They are trying so hard to make
Hard.
something.
Just failing miserably. That's the other thing, though.
I'm failing spectacularly. Like this is like some of the most epic failing because they just keep doing it, and I feel like it keeps getting worse. Like Morbius, like at least became like famous for memes, but like Madame Web crashed so hard, I don't even really hear about it. And then they got this Kraven coming out, and I'm like, yeah, this just looks fucking bad.
Oh, Madam Web, like, burned to the ground. And I think was it Dakota Johnson? Is that who the star was?
No, I think it
No.
was. Oh no, it was Dakota Johnson. Oh.
Oh,
Yeah, Dakota Johnson. Of course. I got confused there. I was thinking of Dakota Fanning.
yeah. No. I remember her being like on press tours, and even she was like, yeah, hey guys, don't get your hopes too high for this one. And I'm like, that's it's pretty bad. Yeah. When even your lead is like, hey, yeah, don't see this movie.
Right, yeah, like, don't expect a lot from this, all right? We tried to do something, but I don't think it really worked out.
We kind of slapped this one together last minute.
Yeah, holy shit. I remember in the trailers just seeing it being like, oh, look, they've got evil Spider-Man.
Because I didn't even go watch. I was like, there's no point to seeing this movie.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that one. I watched Morbius, like, when it was available at home. I didn't go to theaters to see that one. I was like, all right, let's see how bad it is. I was like, oh, it's bad.
No, it's just pretty bad.
I feel like I might do the same with, like, Madam Web. Like, all right, let's see how bad it is.
I don't know. And here's the thing. Kraven the Hunter is actually one of my favorite Spider-Man villains. Fun fact.
He's got some good storylines.
And if you told me, like, 10, 15 years ago, because I'm 25 now, if you told me back then that they were making a Kraven the Hunter movie, I would have been like, yeah, dude, yeah, that sounds awesome. I can't wait to see that.
Right.
Now you tell me they're making a Kraven the Hunter movie, and I'm like, really? God damn it. It's just, it's so much dread now.
How dare you? Why are you doing this to me?
Why? Who are you? And what are you doing in my house?
Yeah, no, so, they can't stop fucking with him, though, because, like, you know, Sony's got to try something. Because they're like, we own all these rights, we should do something that's, like, the greatest time alive for comic book movies. Which is, of course, I feel like coming to an end. Like, people are just getting burnt out on it. And they're not helping.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And they're not helping by just making these, like, weird movies that, like, nobody's into except, like, ironically.
And, like, again, look, Morbius and Madam Web are both just such train wrecks.
I can only speak to one of those. Like, I only saw one of those. I'm going to say public consensus said it was a fucking train wreck, and so I'm inclined to agree, but, like,
oh, yeah, so I don't know. Anymore, I feel like Sony puts out anything superhero-related, and no one's excited for that thing anymore.
Yeah, no, so that's why Kraven's getting pushed back. I'm sure they're going to try to do some reshoots. They probably did some test screenings. It was like, we don't like this. Like, what? You don't? No.
Sure?
Yes, we're sure.
No, I think if you guys really put your best foot forward, you could make something that's reachable, question mark.
I'm not sure they could. I do not have the same faith. They seem to not be able to make good shit. I don't know. Like, I guess the first Venom movie is not so bad.
You know what I'll say about the first Venom movie? Hmm. I don't think it's a good Venom movie. It's like a good buddy cop movie. But in terms of, like, actually being a good Venom movie, I don't actually think it is.
Okay.
You know, I just don't feel like it got at what Venom is about. Mm-hmm. It felt very confused.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to get to what Venom is about because, for the most part, like, Venom's about, like, hating Spider-Man. So when you have a Venom that exists in the Spider-Verse minus Spider-Man, so he can't have his hatred of Spider-Man, it gets a little tough to, you know? And so they're like, well, what if then it was a buddy comedy, I guess. That was their response to it.
What if they're, you know, what if they got banter and, like, you know, liners, you know? Yeah. Oh, my goodness, I'm kind of a loser. That is a line in that movie.
Yep. That is 100%.
No one's going to forget that, because I never did. Because I still think about that line, and I'm like, did Venom just say that? Did the symbiote just say that shit?
He did.
What? Am I being punked?
Yeah, no, I remember hearing that one like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Guys, come on. Did you didn't even try with that one. You didn't even try.
Nope.
So, you know what? RIP Marvel. Or not Marvel. Sony. Marvel's still... Marvel's questionable still. I'm not going to say that much.
It's limping along.
Like, I don't know. I feel like Marvel has become, like, what Fox gets mocked for, which is, like, now stay tuned for whatever Marvel's limped to the finish line with.
Yeah. We've got, what is it, Deadpool and Wolverine this year.
That's right. They've got that. So
I'm gonna see it. Like, I'm excited for that. I love Deadpool. I think Ryan Reynolds does an awesome job. I think Hugh Jackman's a great Wolverine. I hope the movie is good. It might not be, but we'll see.
I also hope for something good, but I will be frank, I'm just not holding my breath anymore.
Well, yeah, I'm not gonna do a big to-do about it, but I'm like, yeah, I know, this could be good. It looks fun.
You know what? Even that statement right there, I'm gonna doubt that. This could be good. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at now with these movies and properties. Right. This could be good. It's not like a, oh yeah, this is gonna be great. It's a, I can see this.
Right. This could be good. Yeah. This could be worth going to the theater for. Yeah. No, that's 100% where we are, because we're over fucking saturated, and like the last like few, we've been not great. Yeah.
No.
Their best storylines are quite possibly behind them. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like
We saw the golden age.
We did. We got Endgame, which was, you know, a fine cap off to, you know, the story that, you know, the story that you wanted to tell. Mm-hmm. You know, it was good. It was solid. You know, it was a decent offering. And I'm like, you know, at that point, I really feel like you just got to be like, all right, look, we're calling it quits. You know, we did what we want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Like, what else? What else was there?
Apparently there was Thor stuff, and I think Ant-Man's doing things. So, you know, there was things. There was stuff happening.
Question mark, kind of, a little.
Right, Captain Marvel was out there doing things. Spider-Man had adventures.
I don't know, man. I really feel like you guys should have just cut your losses and been like, all right, you know what? We did what we wanted to do. Let's do something else now. We'll rebrand. We'll go in a new direction, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I got that Spider-Man multiverse movie. That was kind of fun.
The No Way Home?
Yeah, No Way Home.
I said people were just stoked to see the other two Spider people at that point, you know? People were like, oh, man.
Yes. They got us like purely on nostalgia on that one. It's like the Ghostbusters movie. Yeah, these run on nostalgia.
It's true,
because they can't run on original ideas anymore.
Well, no, original ideas are dead. They're dead in the water.
Yeah, no, those aren't gonna fucking make money.
What do you mean? We need something that's definitely gonna make us lots and lots of money. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And that, I don't know, that saddens me. Just such a great deal, it saddens me, you know?
Yeah.
Of like, I don't know, guys, can't we do, can I get an original idea, please? I'd like to order one original idea.
Well, no, and especially with AI fucking, like, entering the fucking field now, because they're just going to, like, generate and then, like, maybe punch it up. Maybe not, who knows, you know? Maybe they just work it on set.
Yeah, no, honestly. So... It saddens me. I am sad about these sorts of things and factors, but you know what? Hey, there's basically nothing you can do at this point. I'm trying to write my own original stories, you know? That's the most I'm trying to do. And I'm going to be honest, so far, the writing the story part is fun. The getting it out there and getting people to give a shit about it, pretty difficult.
Yeah, man, that is definitely the tough part. Making art is fun. I remember when I used to make music, you know, that was the fun part. Going to the studio, recording the songs. But then, yeah, getting out there and promoting and shit, that's the tough part. Especially in the you know, digital age and whatnot. Back in my day, you would just hand out a lot of flyers. You print a lot of flyers and then just put them everywhere. Like, here, take a flyer. Put it in people's hands. Physical copies help move shit, you know?
So it's funny you say that. I you know, the ad algorithm for my fucking you know, Instagram has started, you know, warping because of, you know, all the things that I've been Google searching, because, you know, your information is never your information.
Oh yeah, always for sale.
Absolutely. But regardless, so my algorithm has been getting, like, you know, adjusted because of that. And one of the things that it was offering was just, like, you know, what is essentially, like, you know, a home print kind of thing, you know, of, like, you know, we'll print the book, but, and from there, you know, it's on you, basically. All we do is print the book. had the thought to just like get my book like printed, like get like 100-something copies, just take it to like downtown Indy or like downtown Zionsville or whatever, and just like post up with a sign that just says like "Buy my book."
Right.
And you'd be like, "Anyone want to buy my book? Buy my book."
I'd watch out for that though. You could probably get arrested, or at least, you know, police will come along and be like, "Ah, you're not allowed to sell here without a permit or something," you know?
No, almost certainly that'd be the case.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean you're trying to sell something? You didn't give the government a cut.
Wait, what do you mean you gotta give the government money in order to sell shit? That's how it works now.
Absolutely. Everybody needs a slice of the cheese, man.
Absolutely. Wouldn't be the capitalist nightmare without that.
Absolutely fucking not. Well, speaking of the government sucking, there's been some protests going on at campuses across the nation.
Yes, indeed.
I feel like maybe it started in Columbia, but so we even had it's been in response to the war over in Israel and Palestine and Gaza, and what's going on there, and the student activists are basically asking their colleges to divest from investments that profit off of Israel's actions in the war. There was a protest in Columbia there where 100 protesters were arrested. There was a Yale protest, and they've all been putting up tents and whatnot, and that's what's getting them arrested and kicked out and whatnot. And of course, the universities are responding to these protests, asking for ceasefire and humanitarian aid, the divestments, by bringing in the police in riot gear and having multiple people arrested and thrown to the ground and beaten. And there's videos of the cops like slamming teachers and whatnot on the ground. And of course, standard stuff. So at IU specifically, 23 people were arrested. Originally, when they made the plan for the protest, the place where they were going to have the protest didn't have any rules regarding setting up tents. But the night before they had the protest, 4 people got together and changed the rules, saying you had to have prior permission from the school to set up tents. And they did this in the middle of the night and then just sent the cops to be like, all right, enforce this rule. So the students didn't even know that the rule had fucking changed in the middle of the goddamn night. And we're like, no, we're allowed to do this. Here's the rule. And the cops were like, you're wrong. Get out. And they're like, no, we have this rule. And the cops just, you know, just kept fucking telling them that they're wrong and they had to leave. And, you know, I'm just following orders type shit. And so then they, you know, stormed them and fucking arrested 23 people.
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely, including students and some teachers, and it looks like they've been banned from all IU campuses for a year.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. Oh boy. I just gotta say, what a brilliant sort of. Brilliant sort of nightmare that we have meticulously crafted for ourselves here, you know. And here's the thing, you know, the war in Palestine, you know, Israel, Gaza, all those things. It's been going on for, you know, a hot second now. It's been prevalent, you know, for a good while now.
Since October.
Yeah, so it's been ongoing. And I feel like we have finally reached, you know, we have officially reached that breaking point of people finally saying, all right, hey, motherfuckers, like, enough is enough. We're going to start doing shit, you know, about it, you know. And it starts small. It always does. You know, it started with, you know, starts with a boycott, you know, don't buy from this company, don't buy from that company sort of thing, you know, or, you know, write to your senators, don't vote for this person, vote for this person kind of thing, you know. But at a certain point, you just kind of have to start taking action. So I say 100% like to all the protesters, you're doing a great job. You're doing good work out there. Keep up the fight.
Fuck yeah, always. It's just bullshit that the response to these people who are just asking for, you know, de-escalation and stops to atrocities are being treated like this. And they always get thrown together with accusations of anti-Semitism, and saying that the whole thing is anti-Semitic. I feel like the one on IU was even organized by, like, Jewish Voice for Peace. Or maybe that was the one. There was also a protest by the Governor's Mansion. I think that one actually. Yeah, that one was organized by Jewish Voice for Peace. But these protests get, like, hand-waved off as anti-Semitic. And there are probably anti-Semitic actors who are, like, down with that. But that's not, like, the general consensus of the people who are doing the protesting, you know? They just want an end to the fucking fighting. Like, there are dead children and 34,000 people have been killed in Palestine since this started. And I think over 1,000 people were killed in the initial attack, and you know, they just want a ceasefire. And again, divestment from people profiting from the atrocities. And the response is to be like, hey, you gotta shut the fuck up.
Have you considered shutting up?
Right, yeah.
And you're what you're told.
Right, yeah, no, like, well, I've got this baton here that says you want to be quiet. I'm just gonna, it's just gonna keep reminding you that you want to be quiet.
Yeah, so I will say full support, you know, to them. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, we I feel like, you know, I feel like we make our stance on these sorts of things very clear with other things that we say, but if it wasn't clear before, you know. Oh, you say it in your outro. Free Palestine.
Free Palestine, absolutely. We'll say it. Say a little early, yep.
Yeah. Just some Hoosier news, because IU is definitely sort of like becoming an epicenter of that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Lots of protests spreading across the country. And a lot of them have been getting fuel, the original protest gathered a lot of fuel because the original cops coming and clearing them out, like, it got an even bigger response because people were like, yo, why are you fucking with these people's right to fucking protest? So they're hilariously enough just not helping themselves by trying to quiet it down. And I feel like summer is always kind of protest season anyway. Like, all right, the kids are out of school and it's warmer out, so it's time to let the government know what we're angry about. And it's an election year. So
it is an election year, isn't
Man. And yeah, that's the thing. Like, this Joe Biden's, like, continued support of Israel, they just, like, fucking signed some shit to give him, like, over $90 billion fucking dollars, is, like, really affecting how the young voters see him. And it's possible, like, this could cost him enough votes to lose to Donald fucking Trump, and we get that part too.
I fear, you know, for the future of elections, frankly, you know. Mm-hmm. I am, in fact, worried about these sorts of affairs. But you know what? I have to put my faith in people. I have to. Because I'm stuck on this planet with people, so I don't really have much of an option in the matter. Mm-hmm. So I am a little worried. But just as much, I am hopeful for some kind of future where everything doesn't go totally to shit.
Right, yeah. Maybe everything won't go tits up, but I don't know. I suppose I'm not holding my breath for that one.
Well. We're all out here just trying to do our best.
Right. Some of us are out here trying to do their worst and fucking just...
You know what? That actually is fair. There are some people out here trying to do their worst.
Right, and whatever, bro. Sometimes you just gotta look death in the face and say, whatever, man.
Hey, whatever. Do what I want. I'm a rock star.
That's right. Fucking rock star.
Thanks, Todd Ingram.
All right.
I think we've rambled and prattled enough at this point.
We absolutely have. So that brings us to the end, and we're gonna do another rendition of Die on This Hill. And Evan will be bringing it this episode. So, Evan, what is the hill you want to die on?
All right. My hill is definitely something simple, but, you know, with some heavy events going on. I think sometimes you need something a little simple in life, you know? You need something a little bit light and easy, you know?
Uh-huh.
My hill that I will die on this time around It's actually sort of a continuation of a thought that I had just a little bit ago in one of our earlier episodes. In that episode, I made the statement that I think it is okay to just be okay. You don't have to be world-changing. You don't have to be, you know, phenomenal. It's okay if you're just, you know, decent. You know? That's fine. That's perfectly okay. However, I would like to now do a countenance to this and say that sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes you need to be better than just okay.
All right.
That is my problem.
All right. Okay. Sometimes you need to be better than just okay. Evan, die on this hill.
So I think my chief example of this is going to come from you're familiar with the Borderlands series, right?
Yes.
You know, if not versed in it, you at least know of it.
Yeah. No. I've seen my buddy play it. That's as close as I've got to the game.
Well. It is a semi-okay game franchise. It has its ups and downs, you know, some peaks and troughs. Two was absolutely a highlight. Some other things that came after that, such as, you know, the pre-sequel and, you know, a few other bits, were not so great. And my point for this comes from Borderlands 3, which, for me, as far, like, in my very humble opinion... 3 is a competently made shooter. Mm. It is a game that you can play and enjoy to a degree.
Okay.
And it's its own kind of failing, because it is not a bad game. It is not a video game where I go, this sucks. You know, this is a shit video game.
Right.
But at the same time, it's not a game where I'm going, oh, dude, fuck yeah, that's a game that I want to, you know, play over and over again. It is a very competent and well-made shooter, and I'm like, from a series that gave us a game as good as 2, that's just not good enough. You didn't give me enough of the things that I liked, and the writing was also truly atrocious.
Right.
And that's kind of a bigger issue in that sort of feature. The best way to play that game, in fact, is to mute the audio, like mute all the talking, and turn on a podcast and just mindlessly shoot things. And for Borderlands, that's not what you want.
Right.
There are more examples of this, but this is just sort of like the one that's kind of like freshest in my mind. Mm. So yeah, when you are that, and you're just okay, you're decent, that's not enough. You really gotta do something a little bit extra special. Hell, Marvel movies have kind of become that, you know? Where it's like, this isn't a bad movie per se, but it's not exactly a good movie either. And from what we've gotten, it's sort of like, you know what it is? It's a, I know you can do better. Why aren't you doing better?
Right. I've come to expect more of you, Marvel movies.
That's really what it is, and that is my hill. I think that if you are just okay in certain situations, that's not, you need to be better than just okay.
But I suppose with what you're talking about, it's motherfuckers who have set up themselves as producing high quality entertainments beforehand, as producing high quality entertainment in the past, and so they have a legacy to live up to. Like, all right, you've laid it down. You can make good shit, like, so you've got to keep making good shit, or just stop making shit, I suppose.
You know what? That's really what it is. It really does come from a game of, you've made good shit before. I know you can do it. Like, why are you not doing it? Why aren't you doing that thing that you said you can do?
Right. Evan, you know what this kind of feels like?
What does this kind of feel like?
You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
Hey, you know what? Hey, here's another one for you. I'm sorry, Dark Knight Rises was not a great movie. It was a painfully okay movie, and when you gave us The Dark Knight, just a movie before that, it felt a little cheap and kind of bad.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. The Dark Knight is an amazing movie.
It's a fantastic film. It's a great movie.
Right.
Dark Knight Rises was... sure was a film.
That's right. There were things that happened in it.
There was a plot.
Yes. Bane was there.
Bane was there, and he looked terrible.
Ra's al Ghul is still there too.
For some reason,
somehow Ra's al Ghul has returned.
I can't believe it. They predicted the future with that. So yeah, so that's that. Therein is my hell, you know.
All right, well, give him a tombstone, folks. He's dead.
I have died upon this hill. So, and hey, you know what? If you enjoy Dark Knight Rises, that's perfectly fine. I didn't, but I'm glad you did.
Right? it's all right.
It's okay.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Well, thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to
like
and subscribe, and tell the bog witches and various ladies of lakes about us, you know, mystical creatures. Be careful contacting the Fae. But
don't give them your name, whatever you do.
Exactly. Just the name of the podcast. I guess we give our names on the podcast. Oh, I wonder what the rules are on that one. Shit.
I mean, if you get it through, like, you know, an audio medium, does it still count?
I hope there's a loophole for that. I hope, like, somebody has already dealt with that in some sort of stupid magic court. I don't know. I guess we'll see when the Fae come a-calling.
Well, look, if suddenly I can't remember who I am in the next episode, we'll know that that's the case.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, on that note, keep bringing the chaos, support the unions, free Palestine, and don't trust the Fae.
Absolutely, 100%. And as always, be gay, do crimes.